Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for the most average podcast ever. It's Zach.
Look at this guy. So hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
And the nose.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid? Why?
All right, folks, it's back to Zach and the Nose podcast. We just had our biggest nerd podcast ever last week. So now we're recapping the big nerd weekend, and I'm bringing in the Nose, who is on location on the West Coast of the United States. Nose, good morning. How are you? You're up real early this morning. How you doing?
I cannot get over this time difference, man. It's crazy. Yeah. I know it's only 3 hours, but I woke up at 4 a.m.
Yep, of course you did, because that you're the Nose and you do things like that. All right, let's get right into it, because I know that you have limited time today because you actually have a real job and not an actual podcast to do every day. All right, so we started off our podcast last week, NFL Draft, Avengers, Game of Thrones, big nerd weekend. Let's get your thoughts first off the NFL Draft. What'd you think?
Well, was it me, or was that the most boring draft like ever of all time? That's my question to you.
It was pretty much, I mean, outside of maybe Arizona not taking Kyler Murray after that, it was very meh.
Very meh. And honestly, I think like the most exciting part of the draft was probably you getting to watch your brother, a huge Giants fan, completely, what people are saying, completely choking on the pick at number 6.
Yeah, Gettleman taking Daniel Jones at number 6 overall. My brother walked into our draft party for QAM at Dave & Buster's and literally said, if Daniel Jones is the 6th pick overall by rumor, I am going to walk out of this bar. And that guy literally picked Gettleman, picked Daniel Jones. Josh picked up my keys, walked to the door, and then came back because I told him he couldn't go sit in my car for 2 hours. But yeah, what a joke that was. Hey, maybe this guy is the next Peyton Manning, but it sure didn't look like it on draft night.
You know, it's really interesting because I'm telling Giants fans not to freak out because we don't know. We're fans, okay? There are people who are paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Giants to help Gettleman make that pick. What I think where they really messed this thing up was, I don't care what he says, they could have gotten him at 17. And that's where the choke comes in because, you know, you got Josh Allen there from Kentucky who's supposed to be, you know, one of the best edge rushers in the draft. And now they don't take him. They take Jones, and then at 17, they take Dexter Lawrence, you know, a very good player from Clemson, but a guy who has a lot of question marks coming in. So the way they did it, very amateur, Zach.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, NFL draft was boring. We're done with that. Let's get on to the Avengers. It debuted this weekend, and yeah, it debuted really bad. No one saw it this weekend. They only made $1.2 billion globally, including taking about $25 from me without popcorn and candy money. And I know it took some money from you, too. Your thoughts on Avengers, and then I'll give mine.
Okay. I'm not that super nerdy. I think you're a little bit more nerdy.
Yes, I am.
I got to be honest with you.
Yep.
So I go in there. I enjoy the heck out of it. I mean, I didn't mind it was 3 hours long. It was so enjoyable. I had a late night viewing of it, and I was able to lean back, and it caught my attention. I didn't nod off at one point of it. So overall, I really enjoyed it. If I wanted to, I like how they ended the storyline. I'm really more interested in your opinion, but the one little issue I had was there was a little bit too much time jumping. There was two nebulas at one point, and then all of a sudden at the very end, Pepper, right, Iron Man's wife?
Yes.
She's fighting all of a sudden, like in the trenches. What I mean, I know she was there in the past, but that was a little crazy to me.
Yeah, no, it was a little bit nuts back and forth. The Nebula situation had to happen because that was the main point of Thanos getting back into everything, the swing of things, because he realized what he could do with Nebula, and they're both under the same like computer wiring. That's a little bit too much for me, but I kind of understood it. It was just a little too much. I understood, but I know where they're coming from. It's technology. I don't know technology that great. Overall, 3 hours long, the movie, I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Was it the greatest Marvel movie? I don't know yet. Maybe I have to see it again to kind of figure it all out. I'll wait for maybe the DVD to come out.
What's the report on us being the like doing a spoiler right now. Is this too soon? I don't think we should be saying the obvious things right now.
No, I mean, listen.
This is a non-spoiler alert situation, correct?
We will at this point, when we put the tweet out and everything, just put that we are talking about the Avengers movie and talking about Game of Thrones. If you haven't seen either yet, wait a couple days to take this podcast into your brain, because I walked into the studios today and Joe had not seen Game of Thrones yet. And all I wanted to do was talk about it with somebody, and no one else on my show watched it but me and Joe. And Joe didn't see it. I felt like I was like a kid in a candy store, but I wasn't allowed to take any candy yet.
Are you sure we're going to go progress into, like, I guess, what is the main, you know, the main event, which is Game of Thrones and what we just witnessed last night? And I can't believe, if you watch Game of Thrones, you have to make it your business to watch it last night.
Absolutely.
Right, we're taping it, obviously, the morning after, if you guys couldn't figure that part out. Wow, what an episode that was.
Top to bottom, probably the best episode there was, because we knew what was going to happen, or we knew what was going to possibly happen going into this meeting. Now Winterfell is being, you know, all the all-stars are at Winterfell waiting for this big war to start, and the war is upon them, right across in the dark. They sent out the Dothrakis with the fire blazing, you know, the knives, all that stuff, and you didn't know what was going to end up happening from there, but I loved it. At one point during the show, I thought everyone was going to die. I was like, holy moly, like everyone at Winterfell is going to die.
Nobody did. I have my issues with the episode. You got to sometimes critique things. I loved it. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. Don't get me wrong. But I guess maybe it's been like, if you're a listener to Howard Stern, and he's always been talking about how dark they're doing the filming, it was very, very difficult to see what was going on at times. I mean, it's night. You got a stormy weather. It was pretty hard to follow with them on the dragons. I was a little, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say disappointed, but I'm like, man, I wish it was a little bit more clear.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fair criticism, because I thought the same thing at certain times last night watching it in the dark in my room, where I thought that I just wanted to have like the full like movie theater setting in my room to watch this. And there were times where I was like, wow, either it's too dark in my room, the TV's tilted one way, I don't know what it is. The picture's already unvivid. I went to that setting on my TV to make sure that was on. There were certain parts of it where they could have done a little bit more light. I understood that the fighting had to be done in the dark, but there's still it could have been a little more lit up for us to see. Nevertheless, the setting on the field of war, I guess you could say.
And the Red Witch comes back out of nowhere, right?
Yes.
And she ends up playing such a ridiculously important role in this episode. And
I didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming at all.
Remember, it was a year and a half since we last saw the last season.
That's right.
So I don't remember her storyline so much with Arya, and therefore I was like, all of a sudden this woman comes in and sort of the hero to the episode, and then goodbye, and just like that, like, what? That sort of caught me off guard a little bit.
It was all planned from the beginning that she was going to be a big part of it. We never thought about it. The way that the dude, I forgot the dude's name, that's got like the pirate patch on his eye, that's died 16 times, that comes back to life. I didn't realize how big of a part he was going to be in it either, because it was kind of explained that he was supposed to protect Arya because Arya had this big meaning in the show. I didn't know what it was. I really thought at that point Arya at one point early was going to die, or something was going to crazy happen, but it didn't. And Arya ends up being the real MVP. Kevin Durant said it last night. She's the real MVP. I couldn't believe the ending to that.
She's the GOAT. Just take the throne, Arya. It's
right?
Yours. I mean, that fighting scene that she had the double-edged,
the special weapon that the dude that banged her the week before made for it. Yes.
Exactly. She was kick-ass in that. I mean, If anything could be said, the last 20 minutes of Arya, where she was just, you know, mazing her way around that room with all of those Army of the Dead people coming around, it was amazing. She really made the show, obviously. I mean, everyone loves Arya.
No, of course. And she became the biggest part of at least yesterday's episode. The dragons, how about the dragons fighting in the air? There was just a lot going on. There was so much going on.
Did that dragon die when they had all those Army of the Dead guys? I'm confused. Did that dragon go down?
Well, see, that's the thing. We don't know. I don't know. There's no way someone could tell me right now how many dragons are still alive. I obviously think the frozen dragon's dead.
One dragon's alive, all right? I'm making my call.
One.
You got one dragon left.
Okay, one dragon left. That's probably a good bet.
You're right. There's a second dragon that is in question right now.
And I don't know what the deal is with that. I just thought it was really cool. The entire episode last night really ended up being an awesome, like, well worth the wait, the extra time. I kept looking to see how much time is left, and I was like, wow, there's 35 minutes left. Wow, there's 25 minutes left. What else could happen in this episode? The fight scene was memorable, something that we'll probably never forget. Here's my big, like, question now. So now the White Walkers are gone. They're dead. They're gone. There's no more left. Like, it's over with. So now it's just the fight between the North and the South. I just thought that this would end up being maybe the last episode and the White Walkers would be around. But now we got, what, 3 episodes left and there's no more White Walkers.
It's 3 episodes left to see who's taking the Game of Thrones.
It's unbelievable.
This is how it's going down. So now you're going to go back to your drama of Jon and Daenerys and the power struggle there. That's going to be a fun little side note.
And you got Cersei, and you got everyone on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be beautiful.
This is going to be...
They did it quickly. They made Arya the superstar.
Yep.
What a move, dropping the knife and catching it with her other hand.
Unbelievable. I mean, come on. That was a goat move. You're right.
You know, for all the people who love a soap opera, the whole Theon Greyjoy death was a little over the top for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like the slow-mo run to the White King. I mean, come on.
You knew he was going to have some sort of, like, either gruesome or, like, heroic death because he was the big protector. I honestly thought at one point when the Night King was walking over to Bran, it was sitting there, Bran, I was just like, wow, I'm like, I think that he's just going to morph right into him. I thought for a second that he was the Night King. I had no idea. Like, what did he call the Ravens out to do? What the hell were they doing?
I have no idea what was going on there. I'm still confused by his whole character.
I know.
That brand confuses me. He was just a kid at one point. And, listen, apparently he's still going to have a lot to do with the ending of the show. So we'll see what happens.
It certainly looks like it. All right, Nose, go to work. We'll talk to you again next week on the podcast when you're back from the West Coast and I'm back from my debauchery trip with my buddies in Orlando.
Dolphins did an amazing job, Zach. I just had to drop that in.
For Josh Nosen.
I think that the first time the franchise could be very, very proud. Hey, if the Nosen doesn't work, it's all good. You already got yourself another second rounder next year.
Yeah,
and then you're on to your new quarterback. You guys did
plenty.
Great.
Yes, you got plenty for next year's draft. All right, Nose, go to work. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Got to make some money.
That's it. See you later, Nose. All right. This is a special edition, I guess you could say, of Zach and the Nose podcast because we let the Nose go back to work because he's got to make some money because we don't make money on the podcast yet. So I figured I'm going to bring on a Game of Thrones dork just like me. And I don't mean dork in a bad way. I mean because he was looking forward to Game of Thrones as much as I was. And you might know him from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And he is a very big part of 560 WQAM. Omar Kelly joins me right now. Omar, I don't want to talk football at all. I want to talk about Game of Thrones. First off, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excellent. I'm still on a high. It took me like 3 hours to fall asleep after watching that episode.
I'm glad you said that because in all honesty, last night when it was over, I was about 20 minutes behind because I was on daddy duty for a little while. So I got in there and I started probably around 9:25. I figured I was going to be behind the whole world. So I'm not going on social media. I'm just going to watch it in bed. I'm just going to do the whole thing. And I couldn't fall asleep till probably 90 minutes after the episode ended because of all the craziness that ensued. We knew going into this episode after episodes 1 and 2, especially after 2 when you saw the kind of White Walkers get to Winterfell, what was going to happen. But what did you think last night of the episode in general? What did you love? What did you hate? And at what point did you think everyone was dead?
Well, I loved the fact of there was just slow build up to the fight. I mean, we were just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then, when the witch made all their swords come on fire, we were like, all right, it's about to be action. They charge the field and go downfield. And it was, and then we see all the swords go out. And everybody's like, oh, crap.
Yep.
And I love the build up to the tension. And they really had us. I mean, at what point did we not think that every single character, from Daenerys to Arya to Jon to Gendry to Bran, that we thought everybody was going to die? Bronn, no, not Bronn, Tyrion, Sansa.
Yep.
We felt like, because everybody was like, everybody spent the entire week wondering, okay, they've done nothing but kill off all our favorite characters for 8 years. Somebody's going to die. Somebody important is going to die, and we're going to mourn, and this is going to be like the Red Wedding, and they just drug it out.
Yep.
They drug it out, and they dangled death, and then they were like, all right, not him. And it, the theater of it was just so brilliant. Now, what I didn't like was, oh, my God, it was so dark. I felt like I needed to turn my phone on, like, night vision and watch the damn show, because I don't know why they intentionally made it so dark and so unseeable. I mean, we couldn't see anything. Could you see anything?
No, there were
too dark.
I changed, you know, you have like the settings on your TV and you could change like movie, game, vivid. I put it on vivid where like the brightness is at 100, the backlight's at 100. I changed everything and I still had a hard time seeing certain parts. I think the hardest time was when kind of like the dragons were in the sky and they were kind of fighting.
God.
I mean, it was cool to see the dragons fighting, but you couldn't really see it.
Yeah, I really think they messed up there. I get it, the Night King. I get it. This is the Night King's battle. It's going to be night. But, I mean, when we had that last battle in Winterfell, it happened at night, and we were able to see it.
Yep.
We couldn't see anything. You know, even the battles in Winterfell we couldn't see.
Yep.
Like, I think the only part of the episode that I could really see was the Arya part when she was inside and the witch was talking to her. Like, everything outside was just horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And I know that we talked right before we turned on the record button here. I thought at one point during that fight, during the war, that everyone at Winterfell was going to die. Everyone, not just one or two people, not one or two characters. Like, they had Jaime in the corner. They had they were going downstairs where everyone was in the crypt. Like, I was like, wow, they're going to kill everyone at Winterfell. And the second, like, the next two episodes, they're going to them going north or them going south to go kill everyone else. I could not believe that everybody except for Theon died. Like, Theon's the only one. Is he, like, so for the betting people out there, if you bet on Theon being the first one dead, you won, right?
Was there really a line on who was going to die?
Oh, my God. Vegas had lines on everybody.
Wow.
Yes.
That was unbelievable. I would have honestly, if I'm going to be honest, because Arya is my favorite character, and I felt like the way they were building her up, she was going to die.
Yep.
That was going to be her last moment. Everybody in the African American community was betting Grey Worm was going to be the man, the one to get the axe, just because, you know, we always die first.
Of course, any horror movie, you know that.
Yeah. So to see Arya at the end just become the hero of the show. I mean, and I understand that Arya is my favorite character of Game of Thrones. I say it all the time. Like, I will allow, you know, I will allow you to have some other favorite characters, whoever they are. You know, even Cersei Lannister, like, she's a great character. Let's not pretend she's not a great character.
She is.
You can respect Brianna of Tarth. You know, even Jaime Lannister. I like Jaime Lannister, and I like the Tyrion Lannister. I love Tyrion Lannister. But Arya, come on. The complexity of watching her from she was 8 to grow up to be the biggest, baddest killer in this whole world, in the Seven Kingdoms. I mean, that's magical. And I didn't expect that she would be the one to put the dagger
right
in the Night King and to basically be, you know, what do we say to death? Not today. Like, that.
Loved it.
Bringing that in from, like, season 1 or 2, oh, my God, just how they sewed that in was just magnificent, which is why I love Game of Thrones and why I tell anybody who doesn't watch Game of Thrones, especially writers, that you'll love it because the writing is so brilliant.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. First off, if I didn't think – I didn't think Arya was going to make it out of the library, like with all the White Walkers walking around.
Oh,
and
come
on.
Arya killed like 20 people in like 3 minutes.
No, I know that, and that's why I felt like this is going to be a horrible way for her to die. She's going to get caught by a book, and she's going to like knock something over and get everyone's attention. I couldn't believe it, but I'll be honest. That was the GOAT move, dropping the knife. getting it and getting that guy in the, and getting the Night King in the belly, I don't think there's been a better move in the entire everything from this series.
But what's funny is, and what people, this is what I love about, which is why we have to spoil it on Twitter, because when you go, after you watch Game of Thrones, you go on Twitter and people start connecting the dots. We saw that move before. She did it to Brianna of Tarth.
That's right.
Like, we saw it. She showed it to us. And Brianna was like, oh, girl, that was good. Like, and then just the witch with, in terms of what she basically said to, you know, Melisandre.
Yeah, yes, I don't know her name.
Where
yes.
She talked about all the eyes, and now everybody connecting it, like, Cersei has green eyes, so now we're all expecting Arya to be the one to kill Cersei, which, you know, that's not going to happen, because they're not going to do something we expect.
No, of course not. Not even close. I mean, we could go through a million different scenarios at this point, but I just couldn't believe what I watched last night. I was so shocked at everything that happened last night, and the fact now that for the next three episodes that are all above an hour long, they're like all an hour 20 or close
to
it.
They're all a movie.
They're all movies. So there's three movies left, and all of it's going to be the fight at King's Landing. Like, they're going to head to King's Landing, or they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. Like,
No. We're going to get a lot of build up, talky. Our next episode's got to be talky.
Yeah,
it's got to be people resolving stuff. Daenerys and Jon, they might hit it one more time.
They should. Or actually,
they can't sleep together anymore now that they're aunt and nephew.
Why has that has that stopped anyone in the show? We have a brother and a sister of three kids.
That is true. It's. I think next episode's just talky, and then we'll get another royal battle, and then we'll get to the conclusion of the theatrics, just like, you know, when Jaime had the conversation with the people from Highgarden, with
yes.
the woman from Highgarden. Well, that's how I feel it's going to end.
Yeah.
The conversation between Cersei and Tyrion.
Yeah, no, there's going to be some. First off, I think Tyrion and Cersei are going to be the ones at the end that someone's going to kill one another. I think it's going to be one of them. And Jaime might be a little bit of a fight between brother and sister. And then Jaime might have to be the one that jumps in there at the end to figure it out. There's just so many different scenarios now that were popping into my head last night, especially since, like I said, like five times to you already. I thought everyone was dead. Like, I didn't know where it was going to go at that point. I didn't know if the Night Dragon, I guess you could say, was going to show up here or show up in King's Landing and, like, try to get them first. I had no idea what to expect last night.
Yeah. You know what? I think Jaime is probably the character that I'm most interested in. Where does he go moving forward? Because now he's seen all of the players in the game. And, yes, family is family. And he ultimately loves Cersei. But can he go back to Cersei after betraying her? Like, now that the war is over with the dead, you know, what does he do? Does he stay there? What does he do? And can Cersei survive if her whole family is fighting for the opposite side?
I know, it's amazing. We're gonna have, and plus we still need to see the Mountain and the Hound fight, right? Like, that's got to happen also.
Is it necessary? Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah,
too many family battles.
They did promise us that's not how it ends for you, my brother.
Right? Like, there's got to be. There are a couple things I'm looking forward to seeing. And the other question is, can you even tell me right now, off the top of your head, how many dragons are still alive?
I think there's only one.
Okay, that's my guess too.
Clearly, you know, the Night King's dragon is dead.
Yeah,
but. But, yeah, I think there's only one. I think there's only Daenerys' dragon, because the one we never saw what happened to the one Jon was on.
No, that's right. All the White Walkers jumped on it, took it down to the ground. We never saw kind of an end to that. But you got to remember, in this show, when you don't see a for certain end to something or somebody dying literally on the ground and you watch them die, you just never know what could happen. It wouldn't surprise me if somehow, some way, at the end in that last episode, we see three dragons flying again. I have no idea how, but it really, at this point, nothing surprised me what happens in the show.
Baby dragons. That's what
baby
we need.
Dragons.
Baby dragons.
All right. That is Omar Kelly. I'm glad he could join the podcast for a couple minutes and not talk sports and Josh Rosen and Dolphins and this and that. Just Game of Thrones. I finally found someone else I could talk to.
It's on the Jimmy day alive.
Yes.
Is Gilly alive?
See, that's something else. I don't know. Like, I don't remember. There was so much going on. I have no idea who's alive or not. None. You gotta wait till next week.
You know, somebody else died. Jorah Mormont. He died.
Is that the dude with the pirate patch?
No. He lied. That was Daenerys' first like hand.
Yes. Oh man, I have no idea. Oh, that's right. Theon died. Theon died, and he died. You're right. Correct. Now I'm remembering everything again. That's correct. So that's where we are right now. We have no idea what's really going on, except for one or two guys might be dead, and we don't know the rest. And at one point, everyone was dead.
Alive.
Yes. I don't know. God, this is crazy. This is what you get from Game of Thrones. You think of a million things right after.
The next episode is about figuring out who lived.
Yes, you're right. I think you're right. It's going to be a big talky episode, maybe a little fighting, but not much. And then it's going to build it up for one massive North versus South fight to end this whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, your prediction. Who sits on the Iron Throne when it's all said and done, and then I'll let you go.
I'm going to have to go with Arya. I think that Arya is the rightful heir to the throne, and I know not just because of what she just did with the Night King, but I've always felt like she was the strongest of the Stark, and especially now that I think she's pregnant, and I think she's going to be the mother of the child who is, you know, Targaryen?
Mad King's. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes, he just had sex with the Mad
That's
King's
right.
first child.
That's right.
The rightful heir to the throne. Daenerys is the rightful heir to the throne because she's the. Well, I don't know.
Jon Snow. What about Jon Snow? He's the rightful heir to the throne.
Technically, yes, Jon Stark is right. You're right. Jon Stark is the rightful heir to the throne. It's so confusing.
I know.
Who is the rightful heir to the throne?
You are. Omar, you are.
Thank you.
You're the king of all my thrones. See you later. Thank you, Omar. Love you. See you, buddy. All right, that was Omar Kelly joining us here on the podcast. Wow, lots of crazy stuff going on. The Nose joined us for a couple minutes. Omar Kelly joined us to talk Game of Thrones. It was a big nerd weekend. This is a lot of spoilers in this episode, so hopefully you saw everything before listening to this, and you can't get mad at us because I will make sure to tweet out big spoiler episode here. All right, for The Nose, for Omar Kelly, I am Zach Kranz. This is Zach and The Nose Podcast. Volume, I'm not even sure.
It's Zach and The Nose.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.